Man, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is there, beginning in verse 8, as I turn there, where it says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. And then it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. I want to focus on that thought. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. We don't want to get caught up in weird doctrines or strange doctrines or things that are foreign and bizarre. We think of Ephesians chapter 4 that talks about being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are a lot of people that just get caught up in whatever weird doctrine comes down the pike. And today I specifically want to bring up some very strange doctrines of the Mormons. And I'm going to tie in some stuff with the resurrection because of the fact that today's Easter, so we're thinking about the resurrection of Christ. But let me tell you something, the Mormons believe some really weird stuff.
That's right.
They've got some very strange doctrines that they've been carried off with. And I'm going to give you some examples of these tonight, but specifically, I want to talk about this doctrine that the Mormons have taught about Jesus being married. And of course, it's not just unique to them. Of course, I've never read it. I never will read this blasphemous garbage, but I guess that's what the Da Vinci Code is about, right? The best-selling book by Dan Brown. Isn't it something about Jesus being married or having kids? So this is a junk doctrine that's out there, and it's something that the Mormons have taught. And the thing that put this on my mind was, I mentioned on Wednesday night the Mormon cartoon. So of course, you know, my son came to me and said, hey, Dad, I want to watch that Mormon cartoon. You said to watch it immediately. And so I said, all right, let's watch it immediately, you know. So I turned on for them the Mormon cartoon. And it's funny because I've seen that cartoon so many times. But this time something kind of jumped out at me in the Mormon cartoon where it said, you know, that Jesus was married to at least three wives, or, you know. And I was like, whoa, what in the world? So I Googled it, you know, do Mormons believe that Jesus was married? So I found this website that's a website dedicated to defending the Mormons. It's called fairmormon.org. And it's basically defending the Mormons against all the false accusations, you know, from people like the people who made that cartoon, you know. So I went to this article, you got to hear this. I went to this article on fairmormon.org called Do Mormons Believe Jesus Christ Was Married? Here's the first thing that's written in the article. The first words are, Mormons don't officially believe that Jesus was married. Now, what do you notice about that right away? It doesn't say Mormons don't believe he was married. It says Mormons don't officially believe that he was married, because guess what? The Mormons don't officially believe a lot of stuff that they actually believe, because the Mormons hide a lot of their beliefs, don't they? I mean, to me, that's a meaningless statement. Well, not officially. Okay, well, what about all the other secret stuff that people learn after they have been initiated into Mormonism? Mormonism's in a lot of ways like a secret society where you get initiated into deeper levels of it and you learn the really weird stuff after you go to the temple endowment ceremony or after you get married in the temple. You get into the more strange aspects of it. And you know, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, if our beliefs are scripturally sound, we don't need to hide them, do we? We'll just, I mean, look, if somebody asks me what I believe, I'll just come out and tell them what I believe. I'll just show them from the Bible, and I'm not ashamed of any Christian doctrine. But the Bible says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. And the Bible says that whatsoever makes manifest is light. So all of our doctrine is exposed. Jesus said, what I tell you in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. We are not to hide any scriptural teaching under a bushel, but we are to teach all the things that Christ has commanded. Everything in the Word of God is openly preached by us. So it says, well, Mormons don't officially believe that Jesus was married. That's a red flag right there. And they say, you know, a lot of Mormons believe that. You know, some believe it, some don't. And then they say, well, the question is, what is it about Jesus being married that would make him less of our Lord and Savior? Yet Latter-day Saints are accused of not being Christian because of such beliefs. And then they bring up an example of a Presbyterian guy. William Phipps, professor of religion and philosophy at Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia, wrote an article and a book declaring his belief that Jesus Christ was married. Are all Presbyterians not Christians on account of Reverend Phipps' beliefs? Or do different standards exist for evangelicals than for those satanic cultists, the Mormons? So does everybody understand what they're saying? They're saying, well, wait a minute, is this a double standard? If some Mormons have taught that Jesus was married, why does that make them non-Christian? I can point to a Presbyterian guy who taught the same thing. Does that mean all Presbyterians aren't Christian? Here's the problem with that logic. The problem with that logic is I'm about to read for you some quotes, not just from some random Mormon, but from the apostles of their religion, the president of the Mormon church, the founders and architects and leadership of their church. They're heroes of the faith. Here's the thing. I'll say this, that any Presbyterian who actually believes the Bible is going to reject what that bozo said. Amen. And any Presbyterian who's following that guy is a phony. Amen? I mean, look, the difference is, yeah, I'm sure you could find some random Baptist that would believe weird stuff. Yeah. You can find a random Presbyterian that would believe weird stuff. But here's the thing. We're not lifting up weirdos as the heroes of the faith. Yep. If some Baptist pastor started teaching that Jesus was married and Jesus had kids, would we just say, oh, well, okay, that's interesting. We'd say this guy's a heretic. Yeah. Get away from him. That's a diverse and strange doctrine. That's weird. That's not biblical. It's garbage. So there's no double standard here. It's not a double standard for the Mormons because we would reject any Baptist or Presbyterian or anybody else who believed that. And let's face it, you know, how many Presbyterians are flying the rainbow flag for crying out loud, right? But here's the thing. If we actually ran into a Presbyterian who was saved, wouldn't we expect them to condemn the rainbow guy down the street? Yeah. Of course. Not lifting him up as a hero. So the point is that the Mormon leadership has taught this. Here's an example. And by the way, all of this is coming from their article. I'm not going to go anywhere else to do research. This is their article defending Mormons. So this is a pro-Mormon article written by a Mormon. Here's what they say in their own article. It is true that several early Latter-day Saint leaders believed that Jesus was married and preached this from the pulpit. A little bit later, they're going to quote the president of the Mormon church from the 70s, the 1970s. Early Mormon leaders. 1972? Is early? Anyway, but here's a guy from the 1800s. Apostle Orson Hyde. Here's what he said. And if you would, turn in your Bible to John chapter 2. Turn your Bible to John chapter 2. Here's what the Mormon apostle says. Orson Hyde. Now, there was actually a marriage at Cana, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And if Jesus was not the bridegroom on that occasion, then please tell me who was. If any man could show this and prove that it was not the Savior of the world, then I will acknowledge I am in error. We say that it was Jesus Christ who was married. This is the apostle of the Mormon church, Orson Hyde. This isn't just some random guy. It's the leader of their religion back then. Now, let's see what the Bible says. Look down at your Bible in John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, let me ask you this. Sound like Jesus is the one getting married? No. This is absurd. It's crazy. It's impossible. Because it says there was a wedding in Cana, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. You would never say that about the person who was actually getting married.
Right.
I mean, think about, you know, Brother Ryan LeBlanc, you know, I remember when you got married, right? What if I said, like, hey, there's a wedding and you're invited? By the way, you're the groom. That's stupid, right? That makes no sense. Would I say Ryan was invited to that wedding?
No.
Or would I say it was Ryan's wedding?
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? That's crazy to say that. So, you know, I mean, if anybody could prove me wrong, I'll change what I believe. It's like, have you thought about reading the text? Have you thought about just opening your Bible to John chapter 2? And just reading where it says that Jesus was invited to a wedding? Called, that's what called means in this context. You know, if you study the word called in the New Testament, the way it's used in this context, it just means that he's invited. He's a guy who's invited along with his disciples. It brings up the fact that his mother was there before it even brings up him being there. If he's the groom, wouldn't that be the most important thing? It's crazy. It's absurd. It makes no sense. So this guy doesn't know the Bible at all, okay? This guy's twisting scripture for his weird cult where they're marrying a bunch of teenage girls and stuff. Sierra Leone style, amen? But if you would, flip back to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter number 18. Because this false prophet, Orson Hyde, goes on to say, if he had Mary and Martha and several others as wives, it's all the same to me. He said, hey, why not? You know, so what? Maybe he was married to Mary, Martha, and several others. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Same to me. Well, here's the problem with that, Orson Hyde, is that that would make Jesus a sinner. Because, number one, first of all, polygamy is a sin.
Amen.
The Bible says that at the beginning, God made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It doesn't say they, you know, three, or they plural, or he could have just said, cleave unto his wives, and they shall all be one big flesh. No, it says they two shall be one flesh.
Amen.
Two people. That's what marriage is supposed to be, two people. Now, it is true that under God's law, polygamy was tolerated because it was just something that was going on. It wasn't criminally against the law, but it was always a sin. It was never God's will. It was never allowed.
Right.
It was just something that wasn't made criminal. For example, you know, for one, and this might offend some people, you know, I don't think weed should be illegal, but I think it's wicked and sinful to smoke weed.
Amen.
Smoking weed is wicked. Doing drugs is wicked. But you know what else is doing wicked? Drinking alcohol is wicked. But I don't think alcohol should be illegal. I think it's ungodly. I think it's sinful. I think it's wicked. But I don't think it should be against the law. Because there's a difference between sin and criminal. Does everybody understand? You know, so there are a lot of things in the Mosaic law that aren't a crime. People can do it in society, but that doesn't make it right. Okay. If every sin were illegal, we'd all go to jail every day, you know, because we're all sinners, right? So you can't make every single sin illegal or the jails would be overfilled. But in the Levitical law, even though these Mormons, you know, if you tell them polygamy is a sin, they're not going to listen to that because they believe it's okay. But in the Mosaic law, the Bible specifically said you cannot be married to two sisters while they're both alive. That is for sure not allowed at all, not even tolerated. No marrying a woman and her sister, okay? Look what the Bible says. I'll show you in Scripture. Are you there in Leviticus 18? Look at verse 18 of Leviticus 18. It says, neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. So if you're married to one woman and then she dies and then you marry the sister after she died, that's okay. But don't do it at the same time in their lifetime. Why? Because it's going to vex them, to vex her. Now, isn't there a story about this in the Bible? In the book of Genesis, you have the story of Jacob being married to two sisters. How did that work out? Rachel and Leah, they're hating each other, at each other's throats, fighting. It's a disaster. It's a bad example. And you know what this kind of reminded me of a little bit? It kind of reminded me of a science class, okay? Now, who's ever taken a science class where you had to do the lab and the class? It's like two different components. There's like the, oh, great, all right. People can connect to my lecture here. You know? So it's like, because a lot of times I'll make an illustration and it's like two hands go up, you know? At least we got, okay, all right. So there's like the lab component and the lecture component, right? And typically what they'll do in a science class is that first you'll do the lab part where you do something, you kind of get experience with something hands-on, like you do it, and then you go into the class and then they explain it to you. Like, okay, let me explain what we did. So you do the lab and then the lecture is typically the order that that would go in. You know, you because here's the thing. Sometimes when you're sitting in a classroom hearing about something, you don't really get it. It's too abstract. But when you've actually done it with your hands and actually looked through the microscope or whatever, then all of a sudden now the lecture makes sense, right? So think about it this way. Genesis is like the lab, okay, where it's like, okay, here's what it's like when a guy marries two sisters. And then we get to the lecture in Leviticus 18. It's just like, don't do it. Okay, because it's going to vex her. And we've already seen, like, here's the thing. If you read Genesis first and then Leviticus, when you get to Leviticus and it says in verse 18, to vex her, don't you just immediately know what that means? If you'd never read Genesis, you'd be like, well, oh, really? They don't like that? Women don't like that? But if you'd read Genesis, you'd be like, yeah, to vex her. Your mind immediately goes. I guarantee you that most of us, when we're reading our Bible in Leviticus 18, that's where our mind instantly goes. When we see to vex her, we're like Rachel and Leah, right? That's where your mind's going to go. But this guy doesn't know the Bible. He's the head of their religion. He's one of their leaders, one of their heroes, and he doesn't even know the Bible. He says, hey, maybe Jesus was married to Mary and Martha. Wouldn't that put Jesus square in violation of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 18, making him a sinner? Just showing how these people don't know the Bible at all. Also, the president of the Mormon Church from 1970 to 1972, Joseph Fielding Smith, and I'm getting this all from their article. We don't officially believe that. That's a lie. Well, okay, yeah, we've had some guys who believed it. You know, early guys. Oh, well, there was this guy in 1972 that was the highest Mormon in the whole church, Joseph Fielding Smith. So this other guy, J. Ricks Smith, boy, these are really creative names that they come up with. So J. Smith is writing to J. Smith for clarification on a question he had, and here's what he says. Dear President Smith, in a discussion recently, the question arose, was Christ married? The quote of Isaiah 53:10 was given, which reads, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What is meant by he shall see his seed? Does this mean that Christ had children? In the temple ceremony, we are told that only through temple marriage can we receive the highest degree of exaltation and dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Christ came here to set us the example, and therefore, we believe he must have been married. Are we right? Sincerely, J. Smith. Here's the response. The response is, yes, but do not preach it. And folks, if I'm lying, I'm dying, okay? Get on the internet and go to their website. It's a Mormon website, fairmormon.org. Look up the article called Do Mormons Believe Jesus Christ Was Married? And tell me if I'm lying. It says it right here. Yes, but do not preach it. The Lord advised us not to cast pearls before swine. Wow. So I guess what they're saying is that their church members are swine. Right? I mean, isn't that what they're saying? What, you know what? That shows you what the Mormon leadership thinks of you, Mormon. They think you're an idiot, and they're right. Okay, so you need to leave. I mean, think about it. What if I got up and said, well, there's a certain doctrine I believe, but I'm not going to preach it because I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. I'd basically be saying that you're swine. Because who is this guy preaching to? Is this guy like a street preacher? Does he walk down the street bullhorning with a sign saying the end is near? Does this guy go on TV preaching? No. Who does he preach to, folks? Who listens to Mormon preachers?
Mormons.
Does anyone who's not a Mormon just seek out Mormon preaching? No. Mormon preachers are listened to by Mormons, and this is one Mormon leader telling another Mormon leader, yes, we believe Jesus was married, but don't preach that because the Lord advised us not to cast pearls before swine. And you know what? That shows what's in their heart when people say things like that.
Yeah.
Like, our people can't handle this. They're pigs. You know, I don't look at you as pigs. You know, I love you. You know, I love our members here. I look out. I have no ill will or rancor toward anybody in this room. And I don't think that anyone in this building is an idiot. I think everyone here is my friend. I love you. You're the flock here. You're God's people, right? And if somebody turns out to be a Judas later, you know, I'll be surprised. I'm not, yeah, well, you know, I that's what I thought. The point is that, you know, this guy hates his own people. And what kind of a person? Well, yeah, we believe that, but don't preach it. Yeah, you know what? Let me tell you something. I preach everything I believe.
Amen.
If I believe it, I'm preaching it. Unless I believe something that's like an opinion that's not in the Bible, I'm not going to get up and preach my own opinions about, you know, sports or something. You know, I'm going to get up and preach Bible. But if I believe it and it's biblical, if it's about Jesus, then I'm preaching it.
Amen.
Period. I'm not holding anything back. Okay. But can you believe that? Just on their own web, they're admitting, they're showing the letter from the guy where he says, yes, but do not preach it. That should tell you everything you need to know about the Mormon church.